You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
You
know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, I am so happy, man. 414 days was yesterday, man. Huge turnout for us in the city of Milwaukee. And today is Tuesday, man. The weather's just, it's just fluctuating back and forth. Good days, crazy days.
So let me make this announcement before I introduce my guest. Beginning Wednesday, April 23rd, the Earl Ingram Show will be shifting its focus to local community content on 540 AM WAUK in Milwaukee, as well as special reporting starting with a limited podcast series focusing on the issues of lead in drinking water. Earl will continue to be a voice for local content on 540 AM WAUK throughout Milwaukee with local spots that will broadcast during mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Additionally, as a correspondent with Civic Media, Earl will appear as a regular guest on Civic Media Network shows to share details about his special reporting and podcasts. Subscribe to the Earl Ingram Show wherever you listen to podcasts to stay up to date with all the digital exclusive content Earl will be releasing in the coming weeks and months. And I just want to say good morning and welcome to a good friend. And I don't even know who to call you anymore. Let me say this. Former state rep, former state senator, former mayor for the city of Milwaukee for 17 years, and former ambassador for Luxembourg. None other than what I really want to call him, and we'll always call him as a good friend, Tom Barrett. Good morning to you. I got to call you Mayor Barrett.
That's fine. Well, good morning, Earl. It's great to be here. It's great to be at your show.
Go ahead.
And I want to hijack your show and return the favor, because I was thinking as I was driving here this morning, for your listeners, when I became a huge Earl Ingram fan, was probably around 20 years ago when I was mayor, and he did the most amazing program that I ever saw as an elected official. And that was this Saturday morning football program for kids in the city of Milwaukee. And there are countless people who tell you what to do, and there are countless people who have strong opinions. But the number of people who take an idea and make it a reality because they're passionate about it and it helps people is very few. And Earl, you... our mutual respect, I think, began then, because I became instantaneously a lifelong Earl Ingram fan when I saw what you were doing for those kids.
You know, Mayor Barrett, I want to say, and it's amazing because my thoughts went along that same line. You had faith and belief in me and in us, and you supported us And we were able to, for over 20 years, it's still going on, by the way, impact just thousands and thousands and thousands of children and lead them down the right path. Oh,
it was amazing to see. It was amazing to see. And it was great. So thank you.
Well, you know, at the height of it, we had 800 boys.
Wow.
Mayor Barrett, 800 boys that we impacted with their families 4 days a week with practice. And then those Saturday mornings that were epic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we eventually moved it to Lincoln Park. And on Saturday mornings, it was just a spectacle.
It was a wonderful spectacle.
Yeah. And, you know, you made all that happen. But it's not about Earl. This is about Tom Barrett. And I wanted to begin, Tom, with you and I, same age.
We're both getting closer to middle age.
well, actually, I think both of us have become our fathers.
I think probably. Yeah. That's a good thing, though, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing, and life has been good. And so a lot of different things I want to talk to you about. I wanted to begin with the early years of Tom Barrett. Middle school, high school, where'd you go?
Well, I grew up on the west side of Milwaukee and went to grade school about four blocks from my house, to St. Sebastian's Grade School. And one of the things that I've said is a lot of time you'll have politicians who talk about what a difficult upbringing they had and how challenging it was and all these things. That wasn't me. I honest to God, had a Leave It to Beaver childhood where on my block there probably were 60 or 70 kids. We'd go out and play. And it was a wonderful childhood, to the point where right now the home where my wife and I raised our family is about 150 yards from the house I grew up in. And when I wanted to move back to that neighborhood, we had four kids at the time, small kids in a two-bedroom house. And I said, well, let's look in the neighborhood, the Washington Heights neighborhood where I grew up. And her response was, you're already fixated in your childhood. I don't want to relive your childhood. Because she knew I had a happy childhood. Right. So I don't, like you, I feel blessed in my life. I really do. And there are things that I get very angry about and agitated about on the world stage or on the national stage.
So before we get into all
that. But I understand. But personally, I'm not an angry man.
No, listen, I know you're not.
Yeah.
But okay, so you grew up in this, and really a scenic and beautiful area,
a nice
of the city.
Yeah.
It's still that way today. High school.
High school. I went to Market High School, a mile and a half from my house, and I was a pretty good student. I love sports, but I wasn't a great athlete, so that's unfortunate. But I still like to play sports. In fact, I'm going to be tomorrow my first ever senior softball.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm just going to show up. I have no idea whether I'll play or not, but it's like, okay, I liked playing softball when I was a kid. Maybe I'll see now that I'm older, maybe I'll take another look at softball.
So, you know, if you're just joining us, my guess is Mr. Tom Barrett. Tom Barrett, again, former state representative, former state senator, former mayor of the city of Milwaukee for 17 years, and recently the ambassador of Luxembourg.
Actually, one of the key things that happened, believe it or not, was when I was a senior in high school, my next door neighbor, who had been my best friend growing up, and we had sort of sometimes grown a little bit apart, but we were still very, I'd say still best friends. About a month and a half before we graduated from high school, was killed in a car accident on a sort of a class trip out to South Dakota. And that had a profound impact on me, and in a way made me grow up a little faster, because all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh. So I went to school in Madison and studied economics, primarily some political science. And nobody in my family had ever been involved in politics. And then I decided I would be interested in that. And my mother thought I was crazy for many, many years.
So Tom, you graduate from UW-Madison.
Right.
How did you wind up becoming the state rep?
I came home. I actually went, and the first job I got out of college was working on the assembly line at Harley-Davidson.
Oh, come on, man.
and just sort of a summer. I didn't know what I wanted to do. They were hiring. So I went to Harley-Davidson and worked there, and that was a great experience. And then I decided, oh, I'm going
to
go
not
back.
Not to mention you filled your pockets with gold.
Yeah, well, no.
Yeah, it was paying well.
It did pay well. It did pay well. So then I went to law school, and then I actually clerked for a federal judge. But then I thought, I'm running for office. I'm going to run for the state assembly. And the way I describe it is the reaction of all my friends was exactly the same. They said, you're crazy. nobody knows who you are. You're not this, you weren't Joe Cool in high school and all stuff like that. I didn't come from a wealthy family. I didn't come from a politically connected family. And I said, I'm going to do it. And so I went out and a lot of my friends helped me and knocked on doors the whole summer and then came back. And it turned out they were right. I lost that race, but I lost it by 39 votes out of about 8,000. And that was a tough time. And I thought, okay, I have to be pleasant and present. I can't give up. This is something I'm interested in. I'm going to be pleasant and present. I'm not going to be a sore loser. And then as fate would have it, the fellow who beat me, his father passed away and he moved on to a different job. And so then I got another shot 2 years later and that was the state assembly did that. And then doors opened up the Senate and then Congress for 10 years and then mayor's job.
So you're running down the road. I know your speed walking, all those things, but so state assembly back in
1984,
yeah. Governor Tommy Thompson,
Governor Tony Earle.
Tony Earle.
Yeah. Last 2 years of Tony Earle. Earle. Yeah.
Yeah. So you walk into the assembly. Wide-eyed, young guy. Did you know what to expect?
No, I didn't. But it was a wonderful experience. It really was a wonderful experience. And the way what I call the state assemblies, it's like the school cafeteria. Kids throwing food back and forth and things like that. Then you get to the state senate, and that's more like the teacher's lounge, where the teachers yell at each other in quiet.
So you had to be one of the youngest guys.
I was 30. In the assembly. I was.
Oh, you were 30.
Yeah. So I wasn't. There were people younger than I was. I was on the younger end, but I was not. I was not a babe at that point. Yeah.
So let's do this. 855-752-4842. I am joined by my good friend. Former mayor of the city of Milwaukee. I went 17 years. I couldn't believe that.
I got a lot of wounds to show for that.
Mayor Tom Barrett, but really, with all those different things, man, you're my friend.
Well, we're friends.
And I'm excited about that. And we've got him in the studio. We're going to have a great conversation about, his life and where he's headed and all the different things that he's done on the Earl Ingram Show.
Hope I'm not bad. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So, Mayor Barrett, that was the music of our time.
I know these songs.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I've had the chance to interview a lot of people in my time in radio, and I would have to say former President Joe Biden was
at the top of the list. Absolutely.
Yep. And Tom, you are up there because of all the times that you and I had conversations, and the work that you've done and the commitment that you've made, and so I'm so excited to have you here after your stint in Luxembourg. And, you know, I just wanted to walk down that valley.
That's great.
Of what happened in your life and our life and my life and the impact and the way we see the world, and especially today in politics. So that's why I'm so excited to have you on board. But anyway, so state senator, state rep, you weren't there very long before you wound up jumping to the next level, state senator. How did that come about?
Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Mordecai Lee, who's still in town, and he had served for a number of years, and he just decided he was done. And so he resigned midterm, and there was a special election, and I won that. But quite honestly, within 3 months of winning that, I got a phone call from Jim Moody.
Jim Moody, a great guy.
Who had been the congressman for about 7 or 8 years at that time. And he asked to meet with me and said, I'm going to be leaving this job in 1992. This was 1990. And he talked about it and asked me to be a co-chair of his reelection effort with Martha Love, which we did. And then I just thought, okay, that's going to provide an opening there. So I was in the state Senate an even shorter period of time, and I never mentally unpacked my bag there because I knew this opportunity was coming up to run for Congress. So that was 92. So I went in when Clinton went in. So there was a lot of hope and enthusiasm. Remember hope coming out of Hope, Arkansas. You know, it was
right.
Young president and a lot of enthusiasm there. And just a month before that election, my wife gave birth to our first child, our son. So here I was, a brand new congressman with a brand new wife and a brand new baby. And a much different color hair at that time.
Yeah, but you became a congressman, and you can't skip over that. That's a major accomplishment for anybody.
Oh, it was wonderful.
How was that race? Who did you run against?
Well, it was a contested race, and some really 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 good people. Terrence Pitts.
Oh yeah, I
finished
remember him well.
Second, and he had run once before and had done pretty well and done even better this time. Fred Kessler, a man I have tremendous respect for, who recently passed away.
Yes.
He ran Mark Murata, a former basketball star.
Oh, absolutely.
He was obviously well-respected also.
Those were great names. Tom Barrett's name was not on the same radar as Murata.
But what I had going for me was I was a West Side kid. And I had spent literally years knocking on doors through the neighborhoods of the West Side. And most of the time I was single, so I didn't have a family. And I really did spend a lot of time knocking on doors during the time I was in the state legislature. And so those roots become pretty deep when you know people at their home. Because my theory was always, when you knock on someone's door, if they're in a bad mood, they don't answer it, which makes sense. If they're in a good mood, they answer it, and you can build. I have many friendships that I formed by knocking on people's doors when I was in the state assembly and state senate.
So hard work as opposed to today, pockets full of money.
Oh, it was definitely shoe leather. It was definitely shoe leather, and you know, it's a different time, obviously.
Right.
But there's different people get in different ways, but it clearly worked for me, and I was honored to have that role as a congressman for 10 years, and I loved it. But then the Gingrich Revolution came, and I basically voted no for a living. You know, because it was just
Ronald Reagan.
And then I took an unsuccessful shot at governor.
But you're moving too fast.
Okay.
Okay. So you became a congressman and very young man to be a congressman.
Then I was a pretty young man to be a congressman. Yeah.
Yeah. And so did you feel, you wind up, you're in Washington, D.C., you're sitting in the hallowed halls of Congress, and you're sitting around these people that are bigger than life.
It was exciting. There were times when you felt like you were sitting in Time magazine,
right.
Seriously, or the evening news, because you would see these people that obviously were on the national news every night, and you had the exposure to it. And it was very exciting. It was because it was the way I describe it. That was major league pitching.
Right.
because nobody, and it was funny. The other thing I would say is there was a gym there. There still is a gym there. And on almost a daily basis, you'd have basketball games. And it'd be about 3:30 right. in the afternoon. And Democrats and Republicans would come down. And I used to joke that I went 6 weeks before I saw the first assist. because this is not a group of people who want to make somebody else look good. It's like, I got the ball, I'm shooting. I got the ball, I'm shooting.
So let me do this. 855-752-4842. My guest is Mr. Tom Barrett. And we're going down, you know, history lane, and we're going to get to, you know, what's up in the future. But I'm so excited to have him in the studio. We're going to take calls. You'll take some calls?
Sure.
A little bit
easy
later.
Easy questions.
Yeah. All right. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. So,
and their partisan politics caused sky-high inflation and a crisis at the border. Michigan families are ready for change. That's why we need Tom Barrett in Congress. Tom will bring common-sense solutions to lower inflation and get our economy moving again. He'll put partisan politics aside to secure the border, and he'll get government out of the way. That's the results Michiganders deserve, and that's what Tom will deliver. Vote Tom Barrett for Congress.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guess is Mr. Tom Barrett. And if I start talking about all of his titles, you know, we would not be able to get the subject in. But recently, the ambassador of Luxembourg, and we're going to talk about Luxembourg and all of that and what all of that was to you. But we're going back down memory lane. And so, Tom, you became a congressman. And at the time, there was kind of upheaval in Congress because, you know, we wound up ushering in after Bill Clinton. No, Ronald Reagan. After Ronald Reagan, and you were in Congress during Ronald Reagan's years.
Actually, no, I came in with Bill Clinton.
Oh, with Bill Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the changes that were taking place in the country at that time.
Well, some significant changes. Obviously, after 2 years, there was the Newt Gingrich Revolution,
right.
And the Republicans took control of Congress for the first time in 40 years.
The Contract on America.
Contract on America.
He didn't call it on America.
And that changed things dramatically. And then, of course, President Clinton was impeached for the Monica Lewinsky episode. And so there was a lot of drama
right.
at that time. But again, it was very interesting. It was challenging. It was rewarding. It was an honor. But I also, that was a time when my wife and I had our family. And so
right.
it got harder and harder physically for my wife to take care of four kids by
right.
herself. And it got harder and harder emotionally for me to be gone.
Right, especially during their growth.
Yeah, during their growth. And so that's when I decided, okay, I love this job. It's an honor of a lifetime. I got to leave.
So you made the decision to leave.
I made the decision to leave and then to run for governor in 2002. And Jim Doyle won the primary, and thank God he won the general election. And my plan then was to be a dad and work in a law firm. But within months, I realized I still had, as I describe it, the needle.
Fire in the belly.
The needle in the arm, yeah. Is how I describe it. And that was right after John Norquist announced he was not going to run. So I threw my hat in that ring, and 14 people, and I was fortunate to emerge.
So for people across the state who are listening to us right now, who may not know, once you become the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, it's kind of a life sentence. I remember Mayor Meyer as a young boy, as when you and I were both
right.
Young boys. He was the mayor for 20 some odd years.
28 years.
What is that number?
28 years.
28 years.
Yeah.
Mayor Meyer was the mayor. And followed by John Norquist for...
He did 15, almost between 15 and 16.
16 years.
Yeah.
And then you, 17 years.
Yeah. Oh.
So in my 70 years of living in the city of Milwaukee, there's only been three mayors.
Well, Marvin Pratt was in for a short time.
I know, but he was just interim.
Yeah.
But now Cavalier Johnson, four mayors.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because by the time I left being mayor, I was by far the longest serving mayor of a major city in America. Something that I never talked about because my thinking was, well, if people saw that, they'd say, well, then let's get rid of him. He's been around too long.
Yeah. So Tom, you, for people who are listening across this nation and across the state especially, those early times, the city of Milwaukee was what? One of the 17 largest cities in the nation.
Well, at one point it was as high as number nine.
Number nine.
Yeah.
And so for people who don't know, we were an industrial metropolis.
Well, and when we were off air, right. And I want to share this with your listeners and viewers, you showed me that page, and I've referred to that, and this is relevant for our conversation and for you directly. In 1970, and it references 1970 in that page, Milwaukee had the highest per capita income for African Americans in the country.
I tell people that all the time.
It had the highest because of all these great factory jobs, foundry jobs, and brewery jobs. And so people could get a job where they could support their family. And we saw now over the last 50 years that just disappear.
Well, you know, Tom, I was able to live the American dream. And many like me in the city while you were the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the taxes weren't as high because industry paid its fair share. Let's talk a little bit about the difference when business can pay its fair share and what that means. And because many of those barons of those major corporations still sat on the boards of,
oh, sure.
of those companies, and they were civic-minded.
Right, right. Right. And so when your spouse wants you to do something and you're rich, you do it.
Right.
You know, so you had a lot of men and a lot of women who were part of our community.
Yes.
And so they were huge, generous benefactors for many things in our community because they were here. They were part of that community. And we have witnessed a seismic change in that. And just... Even now, you look at the largest employer in Milwaukee, and it's Aurora Healthcare.
Right.
That's no longer a local company.
You know, Tom, I always tell people the story as a young boy growing up. If there were any cracks in the street, they were fixed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
There was no cracked pavement, sidewalks. They were all pristine. You could go to the parks, no dandelions anywhere. Beautiful, beautiful city, right? I don't care. No, there were no slums.
Mm-hmm.
There were businesses, the storefronts in many of the areas, communities around the city of Milwaukee were vibrant. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful time.
It was a wonderful time. I agree. It was a great place for both of us to grow up. I agree.
Absolutely. And so, but you look today and you see all of these changes that have taken place. your thoughts on what has happened, because Bill Clinton was in office when NAFTA came into existence. So you can't solely blame that on Bill Clinton and Democrats. It was the one thing that both Democrats and Republicans agreed on was NAFTA. Your thoughts after all these years on
NAFTA? I think that was a tragic mistake. I voted no, and I'm happy I voted no. And I still remember getting a phone call from the trade representative. And I said to him, you know, that's a hundreds and hundreds of page document, and every I is dotted and every T is crossed. The only thing it doesn't have in there is that the workers will get increases in pay. The workers in Mexico, as well as the workers right. in the United States. And because my theory was, if the workers in Mexico become middle class, they can buy goods made in Milwaukee. And specifically, I was thinking they could buy lawnmowers made in Milwaukee if they got a living wage in Mexico. And he said, well, the president of Mexico said he's going to raise their wages. And I said, I know he said that, but it's not in the document. And he said, are you saying you don't trust the president of Mexico? And I said, I'm saying that if a politician says something and doesn't follow through with it, I'm not shocked. I want to see it in writing. And of course, it never went in writing. And ironically, now 30 years later, there are basically no lawnmowers made in Milwaukee.
Right.
They're gone too.
So the North American Free Trade Agreement, it intersected my life.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I worked in a plant for 34 years that stood for over a century and employed so many people. And we watched that come to an end.
I watched it come to an end. Driving down Capitol Drive.
But you know that there was at one point in time 7,000 people working there.
Oh.
And that neighborhood that I grew up in, it was buttressed by A.O. Smith.
Well, the way I describe it, and we may even have talked about this before, because we lived for a while on 40th and Capitol.
Right.
So we drove down Capitol Drive all the time. And I was a little boy, and I loved going past there because you had row after row after
row of frames.
I know. And for a little boy, it was almost like, and maybe for some little girls too, a combination of Lincoln Logs and Tonka trucks. If you remember Lincoln Logs
Absolutely.
And Tonka trucks, because it was an amazing sight to see. And then those stacks got smaller and smaller, and then they disappeared.
You know, Tom, and so when we see kind of where our nation is today, and having lost all those major manufacturers, not just in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin, but the Rust Belt, but all across our nation. It started with the steel mills
right. And
all of those things. And so if we could have foreseen those things, was there any thought in your mind the magnitude of the impact of what those decisions made
I think,
the future
again,
of our nation?
In retrospect, going back to NAFTA, because I could say I had a Democratic president who was pushing it. I had a number of Democrats who were in favor of it. And I understood trade could be a good thing. But I thought, but my community's going to get massacred by this. That was sort of
right.
my ultimate decision. And it wasn't like I really toiled over that. I really did.
Right.
I really did. And I just thought, I can't do this. It might work for Seattle, Washington, that has trade routes. Or
right.
It might work for El Paso, Texas. But it's not working for Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so I voted no. And again, looking back, I don't know how I'd live with myself if I hadn't voted that way now, 30 years later.
Well, it is tied into what is taking place in our country today with the debate about trade and all those things. So I'll say this, and then we'll move on. You got a couple minutes to hang with me?
Sure.
Okay. You know, I'm just so excited, Tom, to have you in the studio. These are questions I've been wanting to ask of people who are in government. You know, for all of these decades, I've been wanting to ask the questions: why? You know why this decision was made. I do know that initially these companies were allowed to move down to non-union shops first before they jumped across and then moved on, you know, to Mexico and then on to China. But they couldn't have moved without the blessings of our Congress. The companies, they didn't just do this out of the clear blue. They were given the right to make those moves. And I think it coincided, Tom, with the fact that the patriarchs of those companies were all getting old and they were starting to move away. And once that happened, those things combined is kind of what made this happen.
I think so. And I think a lot of soul searching that has to be done, and this goes way beyond the show, obviously, is, okay, what do we do now? What do we do now?
Right.
And as critical as I am of President Trump, and I could just go off on that, I understand this whole notion of we got to make more stuff in America. Clearly, we have to make more stuff in America. What troubles me is how do we get those jobs to come to Milwaukee? Because of the union issues, and I've got a strong union background and union voting record. Clearly, when you see these major announcements, they're going to parts of the country where you don't have strong unions.
All right, 855-752-4842. My guest is Tom Barrett, and we're going to keep moving. We'll come to the phone lines in a couple minutes. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. So I mean, thank you. Number one.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
So I wanted to make sure we thought of this was during our time. We were very young, and this music selection. All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. I'm joined by my good friend, former Mayor Tom Barrett, the former Ambassador of Luxembourg, and Chief Cook and Bottle Washer for everything in the state of Wisconsin over the last, I don't know, 40 years. So Tom, we were talking about the impact of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Let's move on to, you were the mayor for 17 years. Our city, and I used to constantly say, our city was one of the last to redefine itself after the loss of all that industry. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Kansas City. Similar cities redeveloped their communities, and we were kind of late in getting it done. But if you look at it today, Milwaukee is, I was looking at something the other day, and it said the skyline of Milwaukee is one of the most beautiful in the entire country. You had a lot to do with that. The Riverwalk on, let's talk about a something called the Riverwalk. But people who don't know what that is, that was on the Milwaukee River, and there were tanneries and all sorts of other companies that were allowed to, and you'd hate to even go down that stink to high heaven. It stank to high heaven.
Yeah.
And if you go there now, it's a burgeoning area. What happened?
Well, a couple things, and I give a lot of credit to John Norquist, my predecessor. He began it, and I worked with him. I was a member of Congress at the time, and we worked with him to get federal funding. But most of the Riverwalk, fortunately, was done during the time I was mayor. And we made a commitment, and again, there's sort of a bittersweetness to this because a lot of those foundries and a lot of the discharges that went into that river that was ugly stuff, that also created jobs.
Right.
You know, let's be honest about it. They'd create jobs. And those jobs disappeared. The river was dirty. And we made a commitment to just incrementally, whenever we were doing any type of development, to add Riverwalk and just extend. It just became part of the formula. And it, literally there was a formula and there is a formula for property owners to get funding to do that. And now, and even more amazing, and I'm not this big boater, so I really had never looked at the city from a boat until several years into the time I was mayor. And then I took a boat ride up the Milwaukee River. And if you haven't done that, it's an amazing experience because then you see all the homes along the river and you see the buildings from the water side, and it's a 100% different experience. And there's a wow factor. There's a wow factor as to how well we've done that. Now, having said all that, and I'm very proud of what we see with the skyline, where I am continue to be unsettled is I think we did a solid job of making sure the heart of Milwaukee is strong. And my argument always was, I don't care what organ you are, you have to have a strong heart.
Right.
And the downtown's the heart. And so we did a lot of the heart. We still need to get these jobs into the neighborhoods. We still need to do that, which was, again, when you were growing up, when I was growing up, Alice Chalmers, Capitol Drive, the South Side, you had these jobs. We don't have that now. That's the challenge now, is how do we get these jobs close to where people live? And so when Walker was in and Trump was in and they were doing that Foxconn stuff and they were talking about people taking buses 50 minutes to a job, I'm thinking, you're a single mother and you're telling her she's going to take a bus 50 minutes to a job, and then you're going to complain when she doesn't show up for the parent-teacher conference? You know, it just you have to have jobs closer to where people live. That's part of my argument.
So, Tom, so since you know we're heard across the entire state of Wisconsin, those same the decisions that impacted cities across this nation also impacted rural.
Oh, totally, yeah. And you can see that where now, if you're a family in rural Wisconsin, and you want your kids to stay, what are they going to do? I mean, fewer and fewer farms. Many times it was dad was the farmer, mom got health insurance by working in the school system or maybe in healthcare.
The paper mills.
Yeah, and those jobs have disappeared. And that has created this huge area of discontent, clearly. And you do see, without a doubt, a political schism now between rural areas and urban areas in America, but not just in America. I think throughout the world, you see a schism between urban areas and rural areas.
You know, Tom, you talk about possibly, and Donald Trump is talking about, he had to bring these jobs back in. Is it realistic to believe that we can bring many of those jobs back?
We have to bring some jobs
back. Because technology has advanced.
But we as a society, we have to, particularly for people who don't have a lot of education, what are they going to do? You have to have a society where people can have the self-respect, can have the ability to support their family. You have to have that.
Is that discussion being had, in your opinion?
Not nearly as much as it should be.
All right, 855-752-4842. My guest is the one and only Tom Barrett on the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.